They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I got tremendous pleasure from watching Dexter over the years. I don't know why you want to knock it.
Jeff Lutz.
I killed a guy in his sleep last night.
What is he, Bob Huggins? The only thing you offer this show,
I hated the voiceovers,
is your 19 impersonations that sound the same.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, the Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz Show, the Bob and Jeff Show.
Where were you going
KFH
with that?
Radio. Well, my dog distracted me. I felt like she needed me to pet her, and
maybe so.
Got a little distracted. Max Power back in the booth. What am I doing?
Are you okay?
I don't know if I'm okay. I got up at 3:30
really
this
booth.
Morning. He's in the booth.
He's in the studio.
Well, don't you call it a studio booth?
I do not.
What they used to call it.
Never heard that before.
But anyway, here we are on a Wednesday. We got a packed show coming up for you. You had some excitement at the baseball winter meetings last night as the Guardians went a little nuts.
Interesting couple of days for the Guardians. Couple trades. Franchise icon passes away. Tom Hamilton wins the Ford Frick Award. They canceled Guards Fest. Ridiculous.
Why'd they cancel Guards Fest?
Because they're a bunch of weenies.
I got really saw a lot about that. Why did that happen?
I don't know. There's no real answer. They said it was because of surveys they took with fans, and then every fan said no. Nobody said that we didn't want to meet our favorite players and go to Guards Fest. That was
strange.
That was never a thing. So it's cheap.
Well, at the end of the day, you lost Andrés Giménez. You lost a relief pitcher.
Didn't lose a relief.
Then you gained a very intriguing starting pitcher from the Pirates in Luis Ortiz, and then a couple of their pitching prospects, and an outfielder from Toronto. How do you feel about it all?
I'm okay with it.
As the dust settles.
I'm okay with it. I love Andrés Giménez.
You really loved getting Spencer Horwitz from
Toronto. I was happy with that,
Toronto.
But ultimately it's like, where was he going to play? You figured maybe a Josh Naylor trade would follow, but instead it was a Spencer Horwitz trade, and I woke up to that news that we'd acquired the pitcher from Pittsburgh. Feel decent about that. We're going to miss Andres, but this is the life of a small market club.
He was due to make a lot of money, and Cleveland doesn't pay a lot of money. And he's probably the best.
It's not about paying a lot of money.
He's arguably the best defensive player in the game.
I don't think there's an arguably in front of it.
It leaves a hole at second base, but you have some guys that are coming up, including your number one draft pick. I guess it's okay. I get a little nervous anytime you have to trade a guy because he's making too much money.
It's about value. If he was an MVP candidate making that much money, they wouldn't have traded him. But his value has diminished. They don't feel like they want to pay $20 million for that level of value for a guy who has really struggled to hit. His postseason at-bats were terrible.
Boy, they were raving about him on the Hot Stove show earlier.
He's great defensively.
Harold Reynolds just can't get enough of him.
He's great defensively. But again, if you can get out from underneath that contract and maybe get some more thump at that position eventually.
That becomes the key. Are they going to get some more thump? What are they going to do with that money they save? Pocket it?
Probably.
Well, there you go. That should make you angry.
They re-signed Bieber. That's pretty good.
Shouldn't that make you angry?
I'm not angry. I understand how this franchise operates at this point. The years of being angry are over. They're going to do everything they can to remain competitive. This is just part of the process.
By the way, did you see the most recent inductees into the Kansas State High School Activities Association Hall of Fame?
No.
One of our guys is in.
Who's that?
We have a caller named Ralph. You ever heard of him?
I have heard of him.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ralph.
Well, is this the first year of that Hall of Fame? Because
he just retired.
I understand that, but Bill Self isn't retired. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know if they put current people in that or not. But congratulations to Ralph.
Absolutely. well-deserved honor.
If he wants to call the show and revel in this honor,
we haven't heard from Ralph in a while.
Well, I don't know what they. I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
You made reference to the loss of Rocky Colavito at the age of 91. You mentioned that he's a Cleveland icon, and I'd agree with you on that. He spent the bulk of his time in the big leagues with Cleveland, but he had four incredible years with your rival Detroit as well.
Rival?
Well, yeah, you don't like Detroit.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, Rocky, he's first and foremost a Cleveland Indian, and we claim him the most. He's our guy. We are the fan base that adopted him and loved him. He did play well with the Tigers, but he's a Cleveland guy first and foremost.
Is there anybody whose name associates more with being from the Bronx than Rocky Colavito?
And it's not even, it's Rocco, too. That's what, it's even more Bronx-ish.
And I forgot, I heard Ted's a sports report before we went on the air. I had forgotten not only that he played a season with the Kansas City Athletics and had a very good year, 1964, but that he later coached with the Royals and was part of that George Brett pine tar dust up.
Yeah,
he got the bat.
He got ejected from that game.
You didn't know that till you heard Ted Woodward.
I read it this morning.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Give Ted Woodward credit.
I'll give him credit, but I read that this morning.
And Why did you mention it?
And I did not hear Ted's report.
Would you have mentioned that?
Would I have mentioned what?
I'm all about giving credit to people.
Well, he can have his credit. But I did read that this morning. It was an interesting.
Would you have mentioned it
on the show today? I don't know. Would I have mentioned what? That he was ejected from the game?
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
Well, it should have been.
I did not know that before today.
Should have been something you would have mentioned on the show.
Oh, my bad.
Anyway, we're sorry to hear about the loss of Rocky Colavito, who always makes me think about my youth and how much I followed the game of baseball when I was a kid. And it's shameful that I had forgotten that he played a season with the Athletics. And in that season, 34 homers, 102 RBIs.
He'd be a Hall of Famer if he'd tacked on a couple good years to the end of his career.
He's in the Hall of Very Good.
That's what I'm saying.
He really came up short in some areas for the Hall of Fame.
But he would be if he had a couple more 35 homer type seasons. He was basically done by what, 30, 31? He wasn't very productive.
33. He had a 30 homer season at the age of 32, and then did very little the rest of his career.
There you have it. Good player. How many home runs did he end up with?
374.
If he gets to 430, you might be having a discussion.
Yeah, he didn't get, 1,730 hits, a career average, a career batting average of .266, a career OPS of .848, and an OPS plus of .132. So he was 32% better than the average player. Pretty impressive number.
Yeah, that's Hall of Fame territory, if only he had a longer career.
All right, on the show today, Mitch Fiegel, the boys basketball coach at Wichita Collegiate. They're off to a good start. He will join us at 2:25 to talk about collegiate basketball. At 2:40 or 2:45, Mike Furchess, his weekly appearance to talk about pop culture, television, movies, music, whatever we decide to bring up. And then later in the show at 3:25 today, now former Wichita State volleyball player Morgan Stout, who just had an amazing senior year. Do they name an All-American team in volleyball?
I would assume so.
Doesn't she have to be considered?
I can't answer that.
Her numbers?
She's got great numbers. But I just don't know enough about the rest of the sport to know how she stacks up.
I don't either, but she's got to stack up pretty well.
You would assume so.
And she's going on to the Volleyball Professional League. I got to find out about that. She was taken by Las Vegas.
Interesting. You just, get put in the draft in some of those sports, right? Did she even know she was in the draft?
I don't know. Well, I'm curious to find out. I'm curious to know if is she even going to pursue that. I would assume yes.
Probably, but who knows?
I don't know. That's why I'm going to ask.
Probably a lot of things she could pursue.
When I don't know something, I'm comfortable asking.
Is that right?
Are you?
Why wouldn't I be?
What don't you know that you'd love to know?
There's all sorts of stuff. I don't know. Usually if I don't know it, I seek it out. So I don't know that there's anything outstanding that I want to know about. But it's, the second there is, I'll probably look into it.
So here we are 2 weeks from Christmas, right? You've got a birthday coming up.
Another one.
You just keep flying by us.
Pretty much.
Your birthdays seem to happen regularly. Like every week or two, it seems
like. They do
happen
a lot, it
seems
like.
Mine just very rarely come along. Why is that? Seems like you have more birthdays than I do. Why am I older?
Because your birthday happens in basically the middle of nowhere on the calendar. What's March 4th? Nothing's happening on March 4th. It's still kind of the late winter, but not quite spring, and basketball's not quite to the tournament, and baseball's not quite at opening day yet, and it's just kind of hanging out there. December 21st.
I always appreciated March 4th.
It's a decent day. It's the only day that is a command.
Huh?
March 4th. It's a command.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you this about March 4th. Weather-wise, you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
I've had some wonderful, beautiful days on March 4th, spring-like. And I've had some dreadful, just the worst of winter days.
You can pretty much say that about most days between, like, March and May. You just don't know what you're getting.
No, mostly March.
April, too. And it's still kind of cold in May sometimes.
April can be dicey, but March is all over the place.
Yeah, it comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb.
But March to me signifies some beginning of baseball. We start outdoor practices in League 42, spring training's in full gear. If you don't feel warm, you can at least look at the television and watch a spring training game, and you'll feel warm right away.
You hope to.
Are the Cardinals going to trade Nolan Arenado today?
Today, I doubt it.
Why not? Why not? This is so frustrating.
Too much to work out. He's got to waive his. Well, now he's at least given the teams he'll waive the no trade
clause
for.
Yeah, we think he has. I don't trust that list.
But how do you?
Are you telling me that if
you don't want to go to the
Dodgers, came calling, he'd say no?
I guess.
There's no way.
I don't know.
And he wants to go to the Angels? Give me a break. He said he wants to win. The Angels aren't going to win.
That's the team I always looked out for with him. That might be the team he goes to.
Well, then he's lying out as you-know-what about wanting to be on a team that wins.
They've done quite a bit. I don't know if they've improved a whole lot, but they've improved around the edges a little bit.
They need to improve in the middle, right?
In the top.
The edges don't matter when you've been as bad as the Angels. It involves getting significantly better, and they haven't done that.
Not quite, but they've gotten some pieces.
Who?
I mean, who'd they get?
If you don't...
I don't know anything. I don't know what happened 5 minutes ago.
If they got a pitcher, but he's nothing...
Didn't they get Yusei Kikuchi?
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the pitcher they got. They're not. They haven't passed the Astros. They haven't passed, I don't think, the Mariners. And the Rangers have. They brought back Nathan Eovaldi and got Jake Berger.
They got Kevin Newman, Travis Darno, Kyle Hendricks. So they've improved. I don't think they're about to be World Series champs, but.
Well, that's what I mean. Why would Nolan Arenado list them as a team he would waive his no-trade clause?
You got Ryan Noda. They've added some pieces.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, the Boston Red Sox are trying to win it. They traded for Garrett Crochet just before we went on the air. That deal became official, and he immediately gives a boost to that rotation, obviously. And they're rumored to be right there for Corbin Burnes. So if the Red Sox are able to have a Burns, Crochet, top of the rotation. They're in the battle.
And we need to go get Brian Bello from them.
Who? Who's we?
Yards. What do you mean?
Anyway, that's where the Boston Red Sox are. And I applaud the trade from the Chicago White Sox perspective. They got the numbers 2, 4, and 6 prospects from a very bountiful Boston farm system, probably the best farm system in the game right now, built by my guy Chaim Bloom before they canned him.
Partially.
Well, he drafted all these guys.
He didn't draft Montgomery, did he?
Yeah, he thought about it.
I'm sure
he recommended it. But anyway, that's exactly the kind of trade the White Sox had to make. When you have an asset like Garrett Crochet, you go to the team with the best minor league players, right?
Yeah, you want to maximize your return. Now we'll see.
4, 6, and 8 they got.
I think that's right. Kyle Teal's number 4.
I think I said 2, 4, and 6.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were looking at a different list, so I didn't.
So the Red Sox protected their top 3, but gave up 3 top 8 prospects to get the most valuable trade chip, I would say, of the winter.
More than Spencer Horowitz?
Yeah, I don't, you know, he's okay. I don't know why people are doing Here's the thing about the winter meetings and any deal made. Everybody wants to look at it like, oh, we made a great deal there.
No, Pirates fans were not happy, and neither were Blue Jays fans. So, I don't know.
The Pirates want more. I mean, they want more thump.
He can hit, but he can't hit left-handers.
Well, he doesn't hit much power.
Against righties, he does. But not much against lefties, so we'll see.
He had 10 home runs last year.
12.
I know it was in a limited amount of at-bats, but I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see in 4 months.
I'm glad that the Pirates dealt from their strength. Pitching.
Yeah. We're all trying to just get better, you know?
The Pirates still have a lot of pitching, and it worries me. They got a lot in the big leagues already with Skeens and Jones and others, and they got a lot coming. Well, right now, here's where the
long-term perspective.
Are. The Cardinals, by the way, in the lottery, the draft lottery yesterday, moved from 13th to 5th.
How anxious were you?
Well, I knew we weren't going to get number one.
Did you? Once you got up to the top 5?
Yeah, you hope, but you know that, man, the odds are really stacked against you. But once it became obvious they were going to get into the top 6, then you hope.
You'd have loved to have Ethan Holliday.
Cardinals haven't had the fifth pick in the draft since they picked J.D. Drew back in the day.
It's weird. The mock draft by MLB.com had that Arizona outfielder going to the Cardinals at 5 or whatever. And the mock draft by Baseball America had that outfielder going to the Guardians at 26 or whatever they're picking.
Well, you got different viewpoints. It'll clear up once the college and high school seasons
begin.
Let's
just say I want that guy now, just to keep him away from you. No offense.
Well, I don't care if you get him or not. I just want a good player at number 5.
Of course you do, and I'm sure you'll get one.
You better get one.
It's hard to miss in the top 5.
It's hard to miss, but it's not hard to...
not get a superstar.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You never know.
And how about the Holiday family? I'll take credit for Matt Holiday. I think when you think of Matt Holiday, you think of the Cardinals.
Rockies, but maybe.
No.
He had his best years with the Rockies, didn't he?
No, he had his best years with the Cardinals.
I don't know about that.
Well, trust me on it.
He got to the World Series with the...
he won a World Series with
Rockies,
the Cardinals.
And nobody gets to the World Series with the Rockies.
Well, they look at all the players they had at the time.
They had a few. He played for the Cardinals a lot longer than I thought.
But to have 2 number 1 picks in the Major League Baseball draft... as children, what are your thoughts on that?
Insane.
By the way, with the Cardinals, yeah, he had great years in Colorado. a 936 OPS, but he had actually an OPS plus higher. Same. Right?
Great player.
Same OPS plus. Pretty much. Yeah.
He was on the Hall of Fame ballot last year and got no support.
Had actually a higher OPS plus with the Cardinals. But to have Jackson and Ethan growing up in little old Stillwater, Oklahoma.
And now playing right next to each other.
You know, Stillwater is not far from here. You're aware of that.
Yeah.
When I covered games and was on the road a lot, I used to love going to Stillwater to cover football or basketball. Two reasons. Close. Just right down there. You stop at the Loves on I-35 there. Get a little whatever you need. And you're in Stillwater in no time. And the second reason, great parking.
Good. And the Holiday family is synonymous with Oklahoma State baseball.
Can I keep talking about that?
If you want. I think we got a break.
We do need to break. We're coming back in a moment with Mitch Fiegel, the boys basketball coach at Collegiate. He'll join us on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. The breakfast partner of Xbox IHOP. We'll be back.
.975 and 1240.
Mitch Fiegel with us, boys basketball coach at Wichita Collegiate. They're off to a very good start. High expectations as usual. Mitch, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good today, fellas. I mean, good as I can be for walking in the house last night about 1:15.
What the heck? Why so late?
Well, we were at Independence last night, and it's a jaunt.
Oh, that's right. It is a little ways down there. You won the game. You've got an interesting ball club with three juniors who are kind of the backbone. You've got some seniors as well. A fairly experienced team coming off a 17-6 season. What do you think of the club so far?
Well, you know, last night we had some moments of just brilliance, and then we had some moments where we looked like, you know, a little more practice wouldn't be a bad thing for us.
Yeah, so what does that mean for the overall picture? You want to obviously probably end the calendar year strongly. Do you feel like you're set up to do that, in position to do that?
You know, I think we're, you know, again, if we stay healthy, I think we're going to be in a position to make a deep run. We've been very coachable. We're doing a lot of things, you know, in the film room, in a pre-practice setting, at a much higher level than we've done for the last couple years. And you can just tell that, you know, overall we're an older and more mature group. And that sure feels good.
Mitch Fiegel, our guest, Wichita Collegiate boys coach. Way, way back, Mitch, to tell a little story. Early on in League 42's history, I got to sit in the Buck O'Neill seat up at Kauffman Stadium. Somebody nominated me, and I was very honored to get to do that. I went up there with my wife and three of our very young League 42 players at the time. I think a couple of them were in T-ball, and another one was in coach pitch. And one of those players was Jaden Parker. He was a little guy at the time. He's not a little guy anymore, and he's one of your one of your guys is a junior on your basketball team. What an athlete, huh?
Yeah, you know, Jaden has had to overcome a lot in the last year. You know, last year he had to set the entire season. He had to have eventually both feet pinned. He broke both feet, and you know, so that we had to get over that. So he spent the entire summer rehabbing, and you know, he's just now getting to the point where he's a little more comfortable on the floor. And I think with him, because of that layoff, I don't really think that you're going to see how good he is until we get like deep into January and he really starts to get back into basketball shape. But he's got a great feel for the game. And, you know, last night he was really good. I'm going to look here real quick, but he put up some really good numbers for a guy that didn't play all last year. And you know, so you're talking about 21 points. He was our leading scorer. And then throw in 9 rebounds with that. And that's a pretty good first night out coming back.
So you're one of the handful of teams, a very small number in 3A, to be using a shot clock, and that applies for home games. And I assume most, if not all, of your road games will not have that. So was that the case last night? I'm not sure if Independence is on that list, but how will that change the way you coach from game to game? I assume you'll want to play offensively like there's a shot clock, but otherwise probably not.
You know, because we're in the AVCTL and our league adopted that the shot clock, and our 3 non-league opponents, you know, in this tournament, all have the shot clock. We're not going to be without the shot clock until we get to postseason play, believe it or not. And okay. You know, last night was clearly a testament to how the shot clock is going to affect the game. We were really, really good early on last night. And then we ended up the game with 28 fouls, and the game turned into a game with no flow. And, you know, we looked up at about minute 14, and we're down 3. And, you know, I think in a normal game setting, a lot of 3A teams, a lot of any teams back in the day would have just said, you know what, we're going to pull that thing out. We're going to make you foul us. And we're going to hang on to it as long as we can. But with the shot clock, you know, last night, we just had to sit down, really have a couple good defensive possessions, and get the ball back. So, you know, it's all of our first time with it. And I thought last night was a really good teaching point in terms of how it is going to affect late-game situations.
Mitch Fiegel with us from Wichita Collegiate. Yeah, you just said we're going to have the shot clock with us for every game until the postseason. You do realize the absurdity of that, correct?
I do, yes. Yes, I do. you know,
it's crazy.
So, I mean, what was your choice? I mean, you had two choices, either not do it or add it. And I think, you know, our league, we decided that, hey, let's be ahead of the curve. Let's figure out how to work this thing in advance. And if it does become reality next year, the entire way through, or even the next year, at least our kids are used to playing with it. And, you know, I like to think that I've got at least a couple guys on my team that are going to play college basketball at some level. And at least it gets them used to how that works as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's basketball now and has been for many years. You play basketball with a shot clock. That's just part of the game. Mitch Fiegel with us. Tell us about another of your juniors and your leading scorer from last year, Sebastian Hines-Turner. What kind of a season are you expecting from him?
Well, Sebastian can just do so many things. I mean, he's so versatile. And, you know, last night he was clearly somewhat limited. And I say limited, but you know, he still got 14 points and 5 rebounds and 2 assists. And that's basically, I don't know, I'd say he probably played about 3 minutes in the first half before he got his second foul and he was out. And then he fouled out late. So his minutes last night were not very many. But it was also a good teaching point for him is that, hey, it's one thing to be physical. It's another thing to reach. And it's also another thing, you know, every night out's a different experience in terms of how the game's going to be officiated. And you have to be able to make those mental adjustments by halftime. And if you don't, you know what, you end up setting at the end of the game. But, you know, Sebastian has clearly got a great upside to him. So I'm sure glad he's on my team and not somebody else's.
Yeah, so going back to the shot clock, sort of, I guess you've been at collegiate for a while. Do you remember many on-court rule changes that really kind of affected the flow of the game? Or is there something maybe that wasn't a rule that kind of forced you to change your coaching style? This seems, you know, like for long-time coaches, this might be either not an adjustment at all because you've been coaching so long, or an adjustment because there's rarely rule changes like this.
Well, and I think it also depends on what your chosen style of play is. You know, are you going to be methodical offensively, or are you going to push the basketball and really attack and try to get the first good shot you can get, or are you going to grind it out? And, you know, clearly you can be a combination of both of those. But, you know, let's just put it this way. Last night in the boys' game, we didn't have any situation. I think we had one time where it got down to like 11. And the rest of the time, it was not a factor for us last night. But, again, we're only one game into it, and I would think, you know, because it is clearly a new rule, there are going to be little things that are going to come up all year that you're going to have to get creative with, and then also put them in your long-term memory, because they're going to pop up again.
Who in your, Mitch Fiegel, our guest, who in your league do you expect to contend with and fight with and have battles with?
Well, Wellington's got a really nice group of athletes down there right now. And of course, Andale just, you know, won the football state championship again. So you never want to gauge Andale until you get past Christmas break, because those guys have been playing football. And, you know, they might not always be just pure basketball guys, but they're athletic, and you know that when they come, they're going to come to compete. So I would say those would be the top group, top teams for us this year in our division.
And I got to ask you before we leave, how many years now as head boys coach at Collegiate?
This is 36.
Man, you mean to tell me I was in my early 30s when you started there? My God.
Yeah,
that makes me happy.
So was I, man. Yeah, you know, I
well,
yeah, been a while, buddy.
Well, you've had a great run. It looks like it's going to continue this year. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll visit soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks,
Mitch Fiegel from Wichita Collegiate. I had no, I knew it was a long time. But 36 years?
Yeah, but that's only 1989, right? That doesn't seem like that long
ago.
You know,
I was a young man when he started.
Sort of.
I was in my early 30s. 34. 33.
88-89 season.
Yeah, 33.
Something like that, whatever.
I was 33 when he started.
Well, good. Maybe you can mark your time by Mitch Fiegel's life.
I'll forget how many years it is.
How old were you when he graduated high school?
I don't remember. I don't know when he graduated.
I don't either.
But he's no spring chicken.
He's still got a lot of energy and still coaches hard. And
I've got a lot of energy.
Do you?
Well, you tell me. Do I?
Do you? I'm asking.
Of course I do. I have to.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that
question. I'm forced to have a lot of energy. At times. Other times, I have none.
Trying to find out how old Mitch is, but not quite there yet.
Well, we don't want to divulge that. He may not want that known.
He may not, but if you can find it, I'm not going to be able to.
Good. Let's save him that. Here's Mike Furches joining us to talk pop culture as we near Christmas. Mike's been in the throes of Christmas. We won't indicate in what way. We don't want to give it away, but he's been around Christmas now for a while. How's it going, Mike?
Man, it's Christmas is back. That's what I'll say. It's doing good.
Well, did it ever really leave us?
Well, there was a time that what I know now is that there's more kids, there's more parents out than what we've seen in the last few years. And, you know, I can say that in an enthusiastic and a good way. you know, I've seen kids all across the country, Bob, and I'm going to give it up for Wichita. And I'm telling the absolute truth. Parents in Wichita have done such a fantastic job raising children. Wichita is a good town. You got people like League that do like League 42, and you know, genuinely care about other children, and it's just it's a beautiful thing to see. So it can be hectic and busy, but it is beautiful.
Well, we've and yeah, that's good to hear. We've got the finale, the series finale of Yellowstone coming up Sunday night. I'm of the opinion that Kevin Costner messed that show up big time. It's still good. It's still, I'm certainly watching it and enthralled by it to some degree. But I hope somebody writes about how his dropping out of this series, the effect it really had, because you had to kind of retell the whole story. And I'd give him about a C+. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. I think it's still better than most shows on television, but I would sure like to have seen what it was supposed to be, because we know without a doubt that what we're seeing in the series finale or the final season is not as it was originally written or thought out. So still good, but I think that C+ rating to me is being generous. That's what I would say about that.
I have a recommendation for you, and I recommended it to my own father last night. We watched the Jamie Foxx special on Netflix where he delves into his health issues, and I feel like anyone who has experienced a major health issue or has had a loved one do so will get something out of it. So, Mike, I think you should watch that if you already haven't.
Well, Jeff, I'm going to step ahead of you. I've already seen it.
I love it. What do you think?
I think it made me admire Jamie Foxx even more. I always liked Jamie Foxx, thought he was great. But there's something about the special that it kind of opens the doors and opens your eyes about Jamie Foxx. And I respect him even more after watching it. And it's a really good show, and I totally agree. It delves into some areas that that are appropriate and applicable for many people, not just him.
Talking pop culture with Mike Furches. I told you last week that I'd get to a movie. Guess what? I didn't.
Uh-oh.
Betrayed everyone's trust. It'll happen sometime. It will happen most likely spontaneously, but it hasn't happened yet. And I know that the big three out there are Moana 2, Wicked, and Gladiator 2. What else has caught your attention?
Well, those are the three big ones. I'm embarrassed to say I was so tired the other night. I went right after I got off of work in the Santa suit and sit down in the chair to see Moana and fell asleep at the start of the news. I had to go back and watch it. That was bad. There's some good stuff coming out. I think quite a few things at the end of the season, right before nomination season and the first of the year. The one I'm looking forward to is the new Werewolf movie, and I'm good for a good scary movie. Yeah, but I hear you, but boy.
I know.
And Gladiator 2 has been panned by the critics as well, but everyone that I've spoken to that has seen it.
You judge these movies for yourself, and yeah. I admire that about you. I probably give too much credence to the critics.
Yeah. And sometimes the critics are right, but Gladiator got panned, and I really enjoyed that movie, and everyone I've spoken to have enjoyed it as well. So that kind of says something. But Werewolf's one that's coming out. There's some good television things that are coming out as well that I'm looking forward to. So yeah, thankfully we've got some good things happening, and we've got things like Matlock that are still on. We've got Landman, which is being really good so far. And other things as well to see and entertain ourselves. And I always look forward to even the first of the year with the music awards that are coming out and some of the new music that's coming out.
Now, here's a movie I'm going to mention that is getting great reviews. And Jude Law is getting all kinds of recognition. It's a movie called The Order. It's about solving some bank robberies. It feels like that's right up my alley. I like movies like that. That's one that I am curious to see. Have you heard anything about it?
Well, about Jude Law, that he is so good. And I mean, he's one of those actors that everything he is in seems to be a terrific as far as the quality and entertainment value, but he never comes up in the discussions of great actors. So Jude Law, for me, is one of those actors that I see anything that he's in just because he is so good. And but I have heard a few things about that, and it is getting great reviews so far.
What did you think before you fell asleep of Moana 2? Speaking of reviews and being panned, it sounds like the songs weren't as good. Maybe the story wasn't as good. Is that why you fell asleep?
No, I was just so tired that I sit in the chair. And, Jeff, this is embarrassing to say, but I'm just going to be honest as I can be. I fell asleep within 10 minutes of the movie starting. And
wow.
It was, you know, I took my wife. She enjoyed it, and I'm glad. But she had to wake me up at the end of the movie when the credits were rolling at the end. If anyone here has ever done that, you know, they know what I'm talking about. It's embarrassing.
And I fell asleep at Harry Potter when my wife took me. It was like,
well, that's just terrible.
One of our very first dates. I'm not a Harry Potter guy. She was.
I would have dumped him.
And I fell asleep.
Come on, Bob. There's got to be a movie you never went to sleep, but then again, you have to go to movies to fall asleep.
Exactly.
Mike Furch is with us. The Man on the Inside. Have we talked with you about that? I feel like we did.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. I know we've talked with you about Kathy Bates and Matlock. My wife and I just can't wait for the weekly FBI shows. Are you into those? Do you think those are good?
Yes, I really enjoy the FBI shows because of the realm, all the things they could do. Things like Criminal Minds in the past, I've enjoyed those kind of shows as well. And the FBI series sort of falls into that, a little bit different, but kind of the same thing. And the other big one that is concluding that has been around forever is the Tom, daggone it, it's the Blue Blood series. Yeah, Blue Blood, Tom Selleck.
Yes.
The Blue Bloods are ending. They're in their last season now, and it's going to be interesting to see how they end that series, because for many, Blue Bloods has been a weekly routine, and to think that it won't be around anymore is kind of sad. And the reason it's getting dumped is it's even sadder in some extent to me. It's not getting dumped because it's a bad show or really bad ratings or reviews. It's getting them just because they're tired of it and want to bring something new out.
Huh.
Mike, I have a trivia question for you, and it's a question I wouldn't know the answer to, so don't feel bad. I like to see what people know. Today, in 1972, the last two people who ever walked on the moon walked on the moon. Outside of Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, can you tell me anyone else who walked on the moon?
Why are you putting Mike in that spot?
I want to, as I said,
I'd have to.
I
like to see what people know. I wouldn't have gotten any. I don't know anyone who would. But what if Mike has this knowledge that
I think I know one.
Okay. Do you have any?
I'd have to look at it and think about it. But, you know, there is the great debate, did we really walk on the moon? Because it is amazing that it's even a debate, but it's a debate. I think they did, but who they were specifically.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think they did as well. But it is amazing that the people that think they didn't, but I think they did.
It's amazing a lot of people think what they think. Cernan.
Gene Cernan.
I got the first name wrong.
He was part of Alan Shepard would be the one that maybe a lot of people would know, but he was more famous for like traveling.
He was the first person to go into orbit.
Yeah, something like that. He was the first American to travel.
Gene Cernan's correct, right?
Yeah, he was number 11 out of 12.
And that's all I need to know.
That's good. Good job.
Well, Jeff, I'll tell you what I'll do.
Mike, I want to ask you.
Next time we discuss worldly events as opposed to pop culture, let me know and I'll do a little bit of research on it.
I'll do that.
Yeah, that was typical Jeff right there.
I just wanted to see.
Right.
Why can't I ask people questions?
Exactly.
That's what we do on the show every week.
Right.
We play games. We ask questions. We
Mike,
figure
I wanted
it out.
To ask you about Saturday Night Live. Their 50th anniversary special is coming up in February, and they're going to roll it out. It's going to be fantastic, I think. The show in its current state, I watch it every week. I don't watch it live. I record it and watch it on Sundays. And it's hit and miss, but really Saturday Night Live has always been kind of hit and miss. Where are you with this current cast of Saturday Night Live?
I think the current cast, I agree, it's hit and miss. I do believe it's hit and miss this season more than in the past. But with the cast, there's a lot of potential in the cast. I don't think we'll ever see the potential and the possibility in the cast that we saw back in the days. But for right now, we're showing potential. And they're getting laughs, which is good. And I'm enjoying it as well. But it is hit and miss. There's some weeks that I just hate it, and there's other weeks that I think, you know, they're back for sure. And it's just the way it is. It's amazing that show has been around and impacted pop culture as much as it has over the years, maybe more than any show ever on television.
Yeah, it's amazing, and Chris Rock is their next host, so I'm all in on that.
And then Martin Short on my birthday.
Well, Martin Short, does it get any better?
No, sir.
Only if he could have Steve Martin. Steve Martin will make an appearance.
Of course.
But to think that they
Mike, we always appreciate it. Anything you want to add before we bid you adieu?
No, we get stressed out in this season, and look at the kids. And, you know, let's make it about people in need and the finding time to enjoy time with families, whether that's going to a movie or sitting at home and watching that 140-inch television like you have, Bob.
Good stuff. Well, of course, we love our big TVs here.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys, look forward to it. Bye.
Mike Furches, talking pop culture. We'll take a break. We've got Morgan Stout, formerly now of Wichita State Volleyball, will join us at 3:25. I was listening to Chris Lamb's radio show. They were talking about the Mount Rushmore Shocker volleyball players and talking about Morgan Stout being a candidate for that.
Who else did he say, do you know?
I can't remember. Sarah Eunice. Don't put me on the spot.
Well, I agree with that selection.
We'll be back in a minute.
It's the weirdest thing. I feel like I've been in a coma for about 20 years, and I'm just now waking up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I remember playing some of my best ball when it was freezing outside.
Best what ball?
Anything that involved the ball, I played it.
Jeff Lutz.
Again, you played your best ball by yourself? I assume most people do. You never got your shot blocked playing by yourself.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's the ball.
Learn it. Know it. Live it.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power producing and engineering. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Sponsored by our friends at IHOP. Their decadent French toast is available for you. Did you see that an Ohio lawmaker has introduced a bill into the Ohio legislature that would make flag planting at Ohio State home football games a felony?
I saw that, but lawmakers introduce crazy stuff all the time, and there's no way that's going to get anywhere within the Ohio lawmaking chain.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. What's wrong with those people?
They don't have much to do, apparently.
My goodness.
But Ohio is crazy over Ohio State football. And I don't say that in a good way. They're nuts. And it's not always a great look. They need to kind of get over themselves or re-examine a little bit.
Sounds like Bill Belichick is now the guy making the decision about North Carolina. North Carolina seems to have made it clear to him that they want him.
Sure.
To be their head football coach. Will Bill Belichick be the next football coach at North Carolina? I almost just start laughing when I say it.
What? Now, tell me why, because I get it, but he's a coach. He wants to coach. And if someone's going to, hey, you get to do whatever you want with this program. We're going to adhere to your every wish and demand, and you get to leave it to your son afterward. Why would he not go?
Well, he's 72 years old. The rigors of coaching in college, in my opinion, are greater than coaching in the NFL. That doesn't mean it's easy in the NFL. That's not what I'm saying. But now with NIL, the transfer portal, the constant state of recruiting, and you can't, Bill Belichick can't just say, well, I'll have these people do all that.
He's not
going
to go recruit.
They'll do all. Are you kidding me?
He's not going to do much of that. That's why his son is there.
If I'm a kid that's thinking about going to North Carolina, you know the first thing I'm going to ask when somebody comes to visit me?
Really?
When do I get to visit with Coach Belichick?
Really?
Yeah.
You think an 18-year-old? Well, yeah. His girlfriend's that age, but an 18-year-old football
okay,
player.
Okay, cool. You're recruiting me? Where's Coach? Where's Coach Belichick?
Where's Coach Belichick? He'll be your coach.
Right. I want to meet him.
You don't get to meet him.
I'm going there.
No, you're gonna
going to Clemson.
You're going to get paid, and you're going to go to the NFL. You sure you don't want to come here?
I'm going to Clemson. If I can't meet the guy.
Why do you need to meet him?
Because he's an icon.
Then you'll meet him when you sign.
No.
Well, then
Dabo,
bye.
I get to meet Dabo.
Dabo's nothing. Nobody cares about Dabo. You wouldn't be able to spot him in the street.
I like him in some ways. The guy's enthusiastic. The guy's a football coach, man. He's the epitome of a football coach.
Is that good?
I think so. He reminds me of what a football coach used to be and still can be.
Again, is that good?
I think it is.
What's good about it?
I just like the rah-rah. Fired up.
Doesn't use the transfer portal.
Enthusiasm.
Hasn't had a good quarterback.
Well, they're in the playoff.
They are.
They've won national titles.
And good for them.
I like Dabo.
I'm so tired
of Clemson.
I don't
mind Dabo. It doesn't bother me. Give me another coach.
Why do you have to be an automatic into the CFP if you win the ACC? Big deal.
Because that's the way the system works right now. And the ACC was pretty good. They got two teams in.
Well, they,
and
yeah,
they got
only
a third,
because
Miami right on the edge.
Only because SMU lost. They would have. It would have been,
well,
would have been a one bit league.
They got two in. We're not here to contest it. They got more than the Big 12.
Big 12 wasn't very good.
So there, I mean, you know.
There, what?
What do you Big 10 get in? Ohio State?
Indiana,
Penn State,
Indiana,
Oregon. And Oregon. I can make a case that they're not that much better than the ACC, my friend. They certainly get all the love.
Would you take Oregon or SMU?
Well, I think Oregon is legit.
Okay. Would you take Penn State or SMU?
I'm not sold on Penn State or Ohio State.
You'd take SMU over Ohio.
And I can't be sold on Indiana. I think SMU would have a good chance of beating those teams.
Mm.
Not Oregon.
They didn't beat Clemson.
They'd have a good shot. Clemson would have a good shot.
No, they wouldn't. They lost to South Carolina.
Ohio State. Get back to me when
Ohio State would destroy Clemson.
Oh, please.
That game would not be close.
You don't have a clue.
Do they play? I hope they play. Who does Ohio State play?
I hope they play, and I hope they beat the you-know-what.
They will. Ohio State definitely
will. That's
what
I want. I can't stand Ohio State.
That's your problem.
And I can't stand Penn State. Hey, bud, you made a tackle. Here's a decal.
Yeah, that's only every college team. Why do you only hold that against Ohio State?
They started it.
How do you know?
Because they've been doing it forever.
Most teams have.
Good downfield block. You can put this on your helmet. Please.
Well, again,
you know
everybody
what?
Does it.
Play for the school, not the decal. That's my motto.
Came from Ohio State, 1968. Woody Hayes. You heard of him?
Yeah, but the guy that went out and tried to trip a trombone
player. He's rah-rah. He's an old school football coach, and I love it.
Please.
Clemson does it.
Yeah, but I like their colors.
No, their colors. What do they put on their helmet? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Paw prints. Georgia uses dog bones.
The kids don't care about that.
Yeah, of course they do, or they wouldn't do it.
That's done for marketing.
Marketing what?
That's not done for the player.
What does it market?
You know what? In the age of NIL, hey, we can't pay you this week, but here's a decal. Please give me a break on that.
Again, what does it market?
You know it's awful. You just want to disagree again.
I don't have an opinion about it. It's been done literally my entire life and beyond. I don't know.
KU?
Yeah, I think so.
No, they don't.
Well, what does that tell you? Any national championships in that group?
I don't know why that is.
Ohio State has a few. Michigan has a few.
Did you read the first mock draft?
Which mock draft?
Field Yates.
NFL?
Yeah.
Like the 90th mock draft.
Well, it's got the Raiders taking the Miami quarterback Cam Ward at 2.
Yeah, good luck. That's not a splash. You either need Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter.
Why not Cam Ward?
Blah.
Leads the country in touchdown passes.
He's fine.
You know what you've never done? You've never watched Cam Ward play.
Oh, Cam Ward.
No, be honest.
I have hours of film.
No, Jeff, for once in your life.
On Cam Ward.
Be honest.
I don't care if I've seen him play.
And No. Have you seen him play?
It doesn't matter. He's not a splash, and he's not somebody who'll get the fan base motivated, and who cares? That's what I think. And every indication is this is a light quarterback class, and you're going to have a reach.
He's one of the Heisman finalists.
Great. That doesn't mean anything. Gino Toretto won the Heisman.
I mean, unbelievable how you just mock these people.
I'm not mocking him.
Cam Ward is the exact prototype of what an NFL quarterback is now.
I don't think that's accurate. A lot of people are saying that he looks like a disappointment.
Give me a lot of people.
Schefter.
Adam Schefter said that. First of all, that's
Kuiper.
Not what he does.
Kuiper
said it.
Jim Bilpolian said it.
Here's what Field Yates says. Ward is an improvisational signal caller with a hose of an arm and the capacity to throw from many arm angles. That's duh.
Okay.
He leads FBS with 36 touchdowns and is second in passing yardage, 4,123. I don't know what you want from the guy, but those numbers
are numbers. That doesn't always
you're saying he's
translate.
Not, that he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying drafting him, if you're the Raiders, is a waste. I don't know. He might be the next Brady, for all I know, but come on. Pathetic.
Where's Cap when
pathetic
I
pathetic effort. Where's he doesn't that? Want Cam Ward.
Call him.
No, I can't call him.
He's
tell
our,
Max to call him.
He's our
Max call Capra.
Raiders insider.
He doesn't want Cam Ward. I'll bet you any amount of money he does not want Cam Ward.
I will bet you. You name the amount. Max, get him on the air. That's your job. If it doesn't happen, you're fired.
No, he's not.
Why can't you let me throw my...
We're firing people.
Why can't you let me throw
you know,
my...
You know when I know somebody isn't a good quarterback? When they say he has arm talent.
Who said that?
Bleacher Report. I hate that. Arm talent. Just say he's a good quarterback. Protecting the football and limiting turnover-worthy plays. Too much hero ball. Predetermined pre-snap reads and decisions. Too much of that. And
yeah,
we can't
get him better.
No, the Raiders can't.
Good
Antonio
grief.
Pierce can't.
What's your anger with the Raiders about?
I'm not angry. Just if you're not taking Sanders, take Hunter, and let's go.
They need a quarterback. This franchise cannot survive without a quarterback.
Go get Sam Darnold. He's a free agent.
My goodness.
And they have Daniel Jones and J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings. Go get him, and then draft Travis Hunter. Then you have something.
Well, Travis Hunter is appealing, no question. But
Cam Ward throwing to Jacoby Myers is nothing. That's nothing.
What about Brock Bowers?
He's fine.
What about the kid, the tight end they drafted last
Michael
year?
Mayer,
who's been hurt.
Does he have much with Bowers still there?
Can
he be a focal
point? You not know
point?
What the NFL is? Brock Bowers is a tight end in name only. He's a wide receiver.
Fine.
In a tight end body.
Well, he plays
tight end. I mean,
that's
the way we play this game nowadays.
Outside of Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, name one time
Bowers
that team
can
had
get out in,
two successful
into the slot.
Tight ends.
Bowers lines up all over the place.
Well, that's not what I asked. Gronk did too.
Ladies and
Gronk
gentlemen.
And Aaron Hernandez.
Anthony Capra.
That's what the tight ends do.
It seems like.
Here's Anthony Capra joining us. Anytime we have a debate about the Raiders, we go to Cap. Anthony, welcome. First of all, you're going to slam Jeff for what he's talking about here.
Oh, I'll just ask you,
the Raiders
Anthony.
Are in a position, most likely, to have a very high draft pick. Field Yates at ESPN.com is saying that they will pick second and take Cam Ward out of Miami. Your thoughts?
I agree with the thought of Field Yates. I mean, they're going to end up with either one or two at this point, it looks like. I think everybody thinks it's going to be Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, and if I had to choose between those two, it would probably be Cam Ward just for the playmaking ability. I still don't think that's the right guy. I don't know if I ever think there is a right guy anymore, but that's not my guy.
Thank you.
Who would be your guy? There's only
my guy
two
would
available
probably not,
at this level.
It would probably not be a quarterback if those are the two guys at that position. It would probably be find a way to trade up to one and take Travis Hunter. That's the generational talent
of the draft. Wouldn't you rather go sign Sam Darnold as a free agent and draft Travis Hunter and have a real future instead of I got Cam Ward?
I see what you're saying, but no, because if you're trying to build for the future, Sam Darnold is going to probably win you a couple games that you probably shouldn't win, and you want to start building. So why win seven games instead of winning two and continuing to build through the draft? Unless you're going to reload with free agents, there's no point to bring in Sam Darnold. That's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback, so you're really just
got 11 wins this
point,
year
doing what
yeah,
you've always
got
done.
A better team around him. The Raiders aren't in that position yet.
And he's 27. He's just entering his prime. That's crazy, Cap.
Cap, when's the last
he's
time
having a good year,
somebody?
But he's not going to win a Super Bowl in Minnesota.
He may.
No, not going to happen. Side bets off the air. I'm welcome for him.
Well, only one team can win the Super Bowl. We have to acknowledge the guy's performance and what he's done.
Well, here's what we know, Cap. We can debate this all day, but what we probably know is that the Raiders will screw it up somehow.
Well, that goes without saying. That's implied. So really, yeah, we're all just spinning our wheels here thinking about what they can do. But yeah, they'll find a way to mess it up. That's what they do best. That's what they've done for as long as I've known them.
All right. You are now, if you weren't already, you're officially our Las Vegas Raiders insider. Thank you, Cap.
Cap, before you go, hold on. I have just one question. Doesn't Travis Hunter and whatever quarterback you have basically take you from two wins to seven? If you have
we
Hunter,
don't want to get to seven.
Right. So if you have Travis Hunter, you're going to win some games. You might as well get a quarterback to go along with him.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying there, but no, I wanted Caleb Williams. I want the generational talent kind of guys. I want those guys. I don't think anybody that I've read, at least, has labeled either of the top two quarterbacks, which is Ward and Sanders. I don't think either of them has labeled them as future generational talents or Super Bowl kind of navigational quarterbacks for an organization. They're good and they're the top of the class, but that doesn't mean they're great and worth a pick for 5 years of an organization.
Thank you, Cap. Well put. Sounds like you come down on my side.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
See ya.
Anthony Capra, settling a debate.
Not really.
Yeah, well, I feel like he was more on my side.
Based on what?
Some of the things he said.
Yeah.
Go back and listen. You can rewind the Odyssey app at any time, and you'll get a feel for it.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here is Morgan Stout. Feels strange to probably hear this, but former Wichita State volleyball player just concluded an incredible career with the Shockers as they were ousted from the NCAA tournament by SMU last week. Morgan, hello and welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, what does it feel like to now know that your collegiate career with the Shockers is behind you?
I definitely miss it, that's for sure. I can definitely thank my coaches and my teammates, the incredible support system I had behind me, cheering me on. It was a great 5 years that I was there. I loved it, loved the atmosphere. The roundhouse is amazing. So I'll never forget those memories, and I'll cherish everything for the rest of my life. So,
yeah, you obviously had a great career, but what I noticed just in kind of perusing your accomplishments is you took a real big leap between your sophomore and junior years. You took another leap at the end of your junior year in the postseason when you played extremely well. Then you took a leap between that and your senior year. And then this year also, you were playing your best by the end and won the most valuable player of the conference tournament and just had an incredible stretch. So what does it take to continue to get better when you're already really good? What kind of drive do you have to do that?
It's definitely, I take everything really personal. So whoever's on like the other side of the net, I make sure like they're not outperforming me, or like if there's anything that I really want to work on or like get better at, I kind of just set my mind on that one specific thing and get better at that. So one thing I was like, I really need to work on is my serving. So then I would, you know, take time during practice and I would try to serve like 20 balls in a row inbounds. And if I miss, I'd like start over. It's like small things like that that I'm really dedicated to like bettering myself at. And also just having like an amazing coaching staff has helped me like figure out different goals for myself, or like personal, whether it's like personal goals or like goals for the team. Like I wanted to always be that person that people could like lean and depend on whenever games are tight or like we're losing. And so making sure to like go in games and being like, okay, this is where I'm going to hit, and like really executing a game plan and like following scouting reports. Just making sure I'm like setting the best example for like my teammates, and also really challenging like the other side and like they're, you know, passing their on their platforms, like really also challenging the libero too, has really like, you know, helped me out a lot when it comes to like being better. But yeah, there's different things that I kind of set out for myself. Like this year I was like, I want to be that person that my team depends on. And I think I did it. So
Morgan Stout with us, just recently concluded her Shocker volleyball career, led the country with 3.15 kills per set, ranked second in the country with 3.95 points per set. Just a remarkable senior season. So how many years did you spend in Fowler as a kid growing up? How long were you in Fowler, Kansas?
Yeah, I spent 15 years there. So I was there for quite some time. After my freshman year summer, that's when I transferred and went to Nickerson High School, right outside of Hutchinson. So
how does a kid growing up in Fowler, a small western Kansas town, home of Dave Harris, I think we talked about that the last time you were on. But how does a kid in Fowler get subjected to volleyball? How did it come about? How old were you when you started playing? Why did you start playing volleyball?
Yeah, being in a small town, it's kind of like you kind of have sports around you because that's really all you have. there's not really any distractions when it comes to like outside factors other than like farming, I guess. Sports is something that I fell in love with like super fast. And then I started playing when I was in sixth grade. So I want to say like maybe 11 years old is when I started playing. But when I finally took it seriously, I think I was in like eighth grade. So kind of a difference there, but I was like, I'm going to start playing seriously. And then by the time I hit my freshman year, that's when I had Mallory Burkamp, Mackenzie Duell, Madison Hayes. Those were all my teammates then in Fowler. And they were like the people that really helped me fall in love with volleyball, and I'm forever grateful to ever play with them, because if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have started actually being competitive in volleyball until like maybe later, if not never. You know, I didn't really like volleyball at first, ironically. But whenever I was playing with them, they were super encouraging, very good. And so I was like, wow, I love this team so much. And then I decided I wanted to get closer to like a bigger school, because I wanted, I took volleyball more seriously. So that's when I moved out to Nickerson, because I was like, I want to play for like a bigger school so I can get better exposure to like Division I schools. And that's kind of where Lambeau picked up on me, and I started playing for Shockwave under Scott Larkin. So, but yeah, coming from a small town definitely shows like how much you really love something, I think, because we didn't really have much over there. So, yeah, that's pretty much how I fell in love with it. So,
yeah, so, you know, Wichita is not a huge metropolis by any stretch, but, you know, it's bigger than Fowler. So what kind of small town, I guess, values and experiences did you really want to carry over to come into Wichita? And then what parts of, quote unquote, city life did you sort of find that you enjoyed?
Yeah, I think having that tight-knit community where, like, everyone knows each other, and everyone's just kind of like rooting for one another, because, you know, we come from a really small area. So it's like whenever somebody accomplishes something or whenever we win something, it's like even more exciting, you know, because out there it's like we have like rodeos and stuff like that. But like people, whenever we win games and like win championships out there in like a rural community, people go crazy and you have like so much support on your back from people. And I really think that carrying that along with me, like really cheering for my teammates, supporting one another, that's something that I really wanted to carry in with me. Like if I was having a bad game, I looked on to like Emerson, or I looked on to Izzy and our outsides, or like our passers back row. And I'm like, you're going to get this pass. You're going to do really well with it. Like hitters, like keep going for it. I'm going to cover you. Just like reminding people that like I have your back, even though like I'm not performing well, I want you to perform well, you know? And that's kind of how I was raised. Like whenever, you know, a family member needed help, like I was always there for them, or a friend needed help. I treat everyone like kind of like family, because that's where I grew up at. So I had like, you know, that rural community, like once again, everyone knows one another. So it's like we're all just kind of like family. So having that family mindset and bringing that into Wichita State is something that I really wanted to do. And I never forgot about my Fowler family. So, but yeah, Nickerson also, like, same thing there. And then kind of carrying those values onto like a bigger city and then having like a bigger role on the team. Like, that's kind of definitely what helped me, I think, leap into those older years as a collegiate player.
Final moments here with Morgan Stout, one of the most highly decorated Shocker volleyball players of all time. You were recently chosen in the Pro Volleyball Federation draft, going 25th overall to the Vegas Thrill. Now, we're not too aware of what the Pro Volleyball Federation is. I'm sure you've done a lot of research. Tell us about that. What are your next steps? Are you going to play professional volleyball? Do you know yet? What's next for Morgan Stout?
Yeah, right now we're kind of training for the preseason. Our season starts January 10th. But right now just kind of trying to like do as best as I can in front of the coaches. It's an amazing coaching staff. They just hired a new coach. His name is Ramon. So he's really good. And then all the players, like we have a 2-time bronze medalist playing with us. She's our setter. And then some people, they're, you know, it's really diverse. Like people are from all over. So getting attuned to like different atmospheres, different training facility. It's definitely a different town because it's Las Vegas. So something I'm definitely not used to, because I'm from a very rural community. So, but everyone on my team is very supportive. Everyone's super good. So they communicate really well. And everyone just wants the best for each other, too. And the coaches are super supportive.
Are you in Vegas now, Morgan?
Yeah, I'm in Vegas right now. I just flew out on Monday. So I just, my first practice was yesterday.
So I don't know if you look at it like this, but it seems like it's going to start being pretty unique for a standout athlete to spend 5 years at a particular university. Do you feel that way too? And what was it about your experience at Wichita State where, you know, the transfer portal, you kind of eliminated that as an option?
Yeah, no, coming from like a different, like a small town, I was really, really loyal to all those people that I was with. So I definitely carried that into Wichita State. Like I trusted in my coaches, even when like my sophomore year wasn't the best year I had. But I still stayed and I stuck it through because I was loyal to my coaching staff. You know, I decided to trust them and put all of my like effort and everything into them. And hopefully I received it back and they definitely were very supportive of me. So I definitely carried that into there. Into like that program and stuff. That's why the transfer portal, it's kind of iffy. You know, you never know if you're going into the right program. You have to put a lot of trust in people that you're not really familiar with or you just met, you know, a while ago. For me, I was like, I know this coaching staff. And whenever I got to Wichita State, they truly believed in me and they told me that they were going to turn me into an All-American. And I trusted them. And being loyal to them and trusting them, putting everything in my coaching staff is something I will never, ever regret because, you know, some people, they get in the transfer portal and they don't know if, like, it's going to turn out well for them. Like, I knew exactly what I was going into and I knew that my coaches were going to 100% support me. So, and they did just that. So, I have...
And Lambeau would have put up roadblocks at every exit to Wichita had you tried to leave, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You would not have been supportive of it.
There you go. Well, Morgan, we really appreciate it. Congratulations on a fantastic college career, and we're looking forward to following you as you embark on this professional volleyball venture. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate the phone call. So,
all right. Morgan Stout from Shocker Volleyball. Yeah, I feel like she's one of those Shocker athletes who goes right to the top.
She's right there.
Sydney McKinney, those kinds of people.
Absolutely.
Addison Barnard. Did I get it right?
Nope. You sure didn't.
No, I did. Barnard's. You go
yeah,
to
you
Barnard.
Said Bernard.
No, I said Addison Barnard.
No, you didn't.
Max, rewind it. I'm pretty sure I did.
You didn't.
Barnard.
Bernard, yeah.
Just no. Kidding. See, you don't even know. I don't
I was
think
messing
you
with
know.
Me.
No, you weren't.
Addison Barnard.
Bernard's. Not Barnard. You got it wrong.
No, you got it wrong. It's Barnard.
Oh, my God, Jeff.
You just said Barnard's.
My God.
You're an idiot.
Get it right. Why don't you ever have your headsets on?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say
Engage
to that.
Engage in the show.
I am. I'm on the show.
If you can't hear what's...
It's not my job to engage in the show. I am the show.
If you can't hear what's happening on the show, how
I
can
am
you
what's
make
happening
any
on the show.
See, that's your... That's just a bunch
I'm
of,
on the show.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
No, I don't need to know what's going on the show
but
that I'm
if
on.
If I make reference to a song, but you weren't listening...
No, I wasn't.
You should listen.
If I haven't heard it before, there's no reason to hear it today.
I'm gonna look into that band. I gotta figure out what to do tonight. My wife coming off a little cataract surgery this morning. I don't know what we're gonna do tonight.
I don't know.
Got any ideas?
No, Wednesdays are tough.
There's a little Mexican place out at 21st and Mays called David's. Have you ever been there?
Never
Dude
heard of
goes
it.
Goes there for breakfast burritos.
Really?
Every Saturday morning.
That's excellent. Maybe
I'm
I should start
about
doing
going
that.
And getting something out there.
At David's. Yeah, I don't know that one. Haven't like, seen it. I'll have to look for
I'm
it.
I'm in that mode right now where I like to find these little these little places. I told you we got...
Well, something on 21st of May isn't a little
no,
place.
No, it's a little... It's tucked back in there. It's in a little strip center.
But you know what I mean.
Well, it's on the south side of 21st, before you actually get to Mays.
Okay.
But I'm intrigued by it. And I just gave him a free, I ought to get something.
I don't think that's how it works. I think you get something before you talk about it. If you've already talked about it, what's their incentive?
If I walk in there later this evening and somebody doesn't say, oh, here, take a free Coke or something.
You don't drink Coke.
I'll be disappointed.
When's the last time you had a Coca-Cola?
I don't know. Years.
Pepsi?
Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar I'm into.
Used to buy Pepsi for the fridge back in the day.
Well, Pepsi was my drink of choice for a while. Mountain Dew had its moment.
Yeah, remember when I had that mini fridge? That was awesome.
Diet Mountain Dew had more of a moment. And now it's Dr. Pepper Zero I like.
Whatever you got to do.
Well, I like it.
I didn't like it.
I was never a Dr. Pepper guy growing up. We were a Pepsi house.
Yeah, I know.
My half-sister just loved Pepsi.
It's all right.
She just loved it.
It's all right.
She would come visit from Kansas City, take the bus down, and my mom made sure we had Pepsi.
Did they not have Pepsi in Kansas City?
She made sure we had Pepsi. I wish you would just, instead of trying so hard.
Not trying that hard.
It had nothing to do with whether they had Pepsi in Kansas.
Why didn't she bring her own Pepsi?
Here you go again.
Like, this isn't.
Here you go again.
This isn't like you can
You're
only
just
get
being
it.
Obstinate for the fun of being obstinate.
Well, how long was this she there?
This is what drives me nuts.
You'll be all right. How long was
no,
she?
No, don't just blow it over.
You're fine. How long?
You
was
hope I'm fine.
If you aren't,
I
that's
can't stand stuff. Like
if you
that.
Aren't, that's not my issue. But
no, I'm not answering any more of your questions.
How long did she visit?
Not answering.
Okay.
Books closed.
Great.
Not going into it anymore with you.
That's wonderful.
Try to share stuff and just doesn't go anywhere.
Well, I was just interested. Like, was she there for a week? Did you need a stock of Pepsi?
There's
or did
nothing
she
really intriguing about college basketball tonight. In fact, maybe the worst night of the year. NBA, is there anything?
There's a couple NBA Cup games, maybe.
I just don't care about the NBA right now.
Me neither.
So you're admitting it?
I am admitting it. My team's awful.
You're done with it.
I'm not done with it, but I'm not into it right now.
We had this conversation, and Duda was in on it.
What
are you going to do if the Pacers are not good? And you said, oh, I'm in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Duda will verify
and
that.
And I'll do something else. And in fact, I remember specifically saying I would probably do something else if they're bad.
No.
Yeah.
I no. will guarantee
you. You're just making stuff up.
No.
Because I remember it specifically. And you're just like, well,
Duda,
I think.
If you're listening, text us.
He doesn't know. You're going to rely on Duda, who can't remember literally his middle name. But he knows what I said 2 years ago. Not
well. We both pounded you on that one.
No, I remember saying it specifically. You're just like, oh, do you think? Do you remember? We kind of was there, like sorta. I remember saying specifically, it's going to be interesting if they're bad and finding out what I do. And it looks like
you're off the wagon.
I'm finding something
what if
else.
What they get good again?
Then I'll probably pick them back up.
Oh my God, the worst kind of fan. Just the worst kind of fan.
I'm not the
you
worst kind of fan.
You did them a disservice by even going to him.
No, I didn't. You know what the worst kind of fan is? The guy who is on the Pacers and is playing poorly and making me be a fan. No. Get
worst
better.
Kind of fan.
Do better.
You couldn't sound any worse.
I don't have long-term
See,
ties
there it is.
To
Max,
this team.
Please record this, Max.
They owe me. I don't owe them.
You know, Max is so good at this job that he'll find that initial.
I don't care what you think
talk
he'll
about
find.
You and the Pacers.
I don't care what you think he'll find.
And it will validate what Duda and I are saying.
No, there's no validation because I said I know what I said, and you're just wrong. You're
Max,
hoping
quickly get on.
You're hoping something like that
what
happens.
What is your recall, Max, about what Jeff said when he announced his fandom for the Pacers?
That I like the Pacers.
He was all in, as far as I remember, with the Pacers. Because you,
well, there you go.
You would torture him. You're going to watch the Pacers over something else, and yep.
Okay, great. So I watched the Pacers over something else. That doesn't, yeah. You guys are just dumb. Like, you have no nuance whatsoever. It's just like, well, Jeff said he's all in, so he has to watch every game and he has to report back.
Well, when
back.
You're all in, I felt like you were as all in on this team as you are the Guardians.
Please.
You said that.
No, I didn't. See, you're just making stuff up, and you get upset when I get upset about this. So let's not do that.
I mean, that's what I view fandom being.
Well, you can view
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm with this team.
Okay, Raiders.
Well, you heard me talk about the Raiders.
Okay, I'm talking about the Pacers.
Well, not good. Not a good look.
Okay.
We'll get more from Duda tomorrow on this.
No, we won't. I'm not coming.
Okay, the two-man booth tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm coming, though.
The three-man booth tomorrow.
Maybe.
And we'll grill you on the Raiders. Not the Raiders, the Pacers. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.